Dear friends in Jesus Christ, the main story of today's gospel reading, you're familiar with it, the feeding of the 5,000. However, though, I think there's a more important question here that we should think about with this particular true Bible story. It's a question that I think Jesus wanted his disciples to think about a long time ago. He wants us to think about it today. The question is, where is your trust? Now, not where we might say it is, but where is our trust really, truly at? 2 weeks ago, we read that Jesus sent his 12 disciples out in pairs, and he did so in order that they would teach. You might remember, prior to sending them, he gave them authority to be able to cast out demons. When you put that together with the teaching, that way the people would listen to what they were teaching. Jumping ahead now 2 weeks from that lesson, we come to them coming back from that particular teaching trip. Those same men now are being called apostles. They went out as disciples, now they're coming back as apostles, and now they're getting together with Jesus. Here at the beginning, we come to the topic of reporting. So we're in Mark chapter 6, picking up in verse 30. The Bible says, "The apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught." So Jesus sent them out. Now they are back. What happened while they were out? Well, first of all, God worked through the apostles to cast out demons and to heal the sick. That's what the Bible tells us. And then, what happened because of this teaching they were doing and because of the miracles that accompanied the teaching, what happened? Well, by the Holy Spirit, a number of the people repented and believed in Jesus. So it was an amazing, powerful thing that was going on. God put his blessing upon these men. God worked through the men, and people were brought into the kingdom of God. Maybe we could say here in a general sense, the apostles, they got back, they were excited to tell, and Jesus was interested to listen. He wanted to find out about this trip that they had gone on and how excited they were. And then we come to this planning to rest. The text says, Jesus said to them, to these men who had just come back, he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest for a while." For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So the Bible tells us they went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves. What happened? The people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities. Where did they run to? They ran to that secluded place and got there ahead of them. How could that happen? How could they get into the boat and then the people end up running there ahead of them? Well, we're not quite sure. The Bible doesn't give us every detail here. But if you take a look at the map, though, it's very possible that they left out of Capernaum. That would be the green arrow. And we do know from another part of the Bible, the secluded place they went to was Bethsaida, where the red arrow is. So you can see the distance there. So they were really going kind of along the shore. So they're traveling by boat, and maybe even the people on shore, maybe they could even see them out on the Sea of Galilee. And here is the boat going over toward Bethsaida, and maybe they're running along the way, and actually they ran so fast, they got there prior to the boat arriving. Why did they do that? They were like so excited to hear more from Jesus that even though they were tired, they wanted to get there, they wanted to find out more. Well, Jesus understood about being tired. Think about these things with Jesus. If we take a look over in Matthew chapter 8, it tells us that Jesus, first of all, healed a man with leprosy, and then he healed the servant of a centurion, and then he healed Peter's mother-in-law. So that was back to back to back, but he wasn't done though that day. Then, later in the evening, he cast out many demons and he healed all who were sick. And then what did they do? They went across the Sea of Galilee, and when they were crossing, Jesus became very tired and he fell asleep. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, he knew about teaching, he knew about working miracles, he knew about getting physically tired. Therefore, Jesus said to the 12, "Hey guys, I kind of understand how you're feeling. Let's go to a secluded place, and that way you can rest." Now, is Jesus the Son of God in human flesh? By all means, he is. Can he do anything? He can. But when he was here on earth, he was in what we call his state of humiliation. In other words, that was a time where he did not always and fully use the power of God. In other words, he could have gotten them to a private place and no one would know where they were and they could have rested. But instead, though, because he did not use his powers, well, we come to the next section here, sincere concern. The Bible says, when Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd. Now, this is the crowd that saw where he was going and ran there. He saw a large crowd and he felt compassion for them. Why? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. If we think about sheep, sheep are dependent on a shepherd to protect them and to feed them. If we think about the teachers at Jesus' time, were they doing any feeding or protecting of the sheep? They were not. They were like sheep without a shepherd. So when Jesus saw them, when he saw their great need, he put aside his own tiredness. He put aside the tiredness of his disciples, and he began to teach them. And then I have some questions here for you guys. So are you open to learn? What I maybe could say here is, when you gather, for example, here in the worship area, or when you gather down the hall, is that simply like to check a block and say that you did it? Or are you here to really get something out of it? In other words, are you open to learn? Do you have a desire to grow up in God's word? That's number one. Number two, do you want your beliefs to agree with the Bible? Like, all of us believe all kinds of things right now. Is it very possible that for all of us, we have some beliefs that are not correct? Because we have not dug into the Bible enough, and even though the Bible says this, we're over here believing something else, and we are, in a sense, out of sync with God's holy word. That's probably true for all of us, but the question is, do we have the desire to want to know what is in here so we can get into sync with God's holy word? Number three, do you want to speak and live to God's glory? In other words, once we know what the Bible says, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to say it to others? Are we going to live it out in our lives in such a way that brings glory to God? So the Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We fall short when we sin. How do we glorify God? That is when we take what God's word says and we put it into practice. That brings glory to God. Is that your desire? And then finally, number four, do you want to be more thoroughly equipped to love God and to love your neighbor? Well, the Bible is going to do that for us. The Bible is going to show us how to go about it. And as we're into the Bible more and more, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to have the encouragement to go ahead and speak for God and live for God. That's going to glorify God. That's going to be a blessing to people that we know. These are all important, positive things. So I'm asking there four questions. So we'll start right up here with Michael, and he can tell me, like, with each question, yes or no. Well, no, we won't do all that. That'll take too long. But what I'm hoping, though, what I'm hoping for all of you is that you're kind of thinking about what I said, and you're like, yes, 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 and yes. So I'm hoping that's where you are. If you're not, I hope you get there soon. So think about those questions, pray about them. Let's ask God that he would work within us so that we can answer yes to each one of them. Well, moving on here with our account of the feeding of the 5,000, now we're coming to the topic here of desolate and late. Picking up in verse 35, the Bible says, "When it was already quite late, Jesus' disciples came to him and said, 'This place is desolate, and it is already quite late. Send them,'" talking about this large crowd, "'send them away so that they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.' But Jesus answered them, 'You give them something to eat.' And they said to Jesus, 'Shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat?'" Now, with all that I just read there, those words help us understand a couple important things. First of all, the place was desolate where they were. In other words, there was no giant eagle nearby. That's what we have going on. And then we also know that the crowd was large. And why do we know that? Because of the large amount of money that was needed in order to buy food for all those people. Now, you heard what I read there. They talked about 200 denarii. So 200 denarii, that doesn't make any sense to us, but you would make a denarius if you were a laborer. You would make one denarius per day. So 200 denarii, that's like working 200 days. If we put that into modern terms, that's about $40,000. So imagine that, having a crowd so big that in order to buy enough food to feed those people, you would have to take $40,000. Boy, can you imagine how many grocery carts that would take? Imagine getting behind that person in the checkout. Now that would be a problem, wouldn't it? But that's a whole lot of food. It's incredible. But God wants us to know there was a very large number of people that we're dealing with here. So now we come to the topic of Jesus' abundance. He said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go, look." And when they found out, they said, five loaves and two fish. And Jesus commanded them all to sit down by groups on the green grass. They sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. And Jesus took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food and broke the loaves, and he kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. And he divided up the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up 12 full baskets of the broken pieces and also of the fish. There were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. So I want to make 5 points here on that final part of the text. So first of all, thinking about the five loaves and the two fish. So think about the disciples. Here they are using their physical eyes. They're scanning this large crowd of people. And with their physical eyes, they're looking at the five small loaves of bread and the two fish. And they're like, this is totally impossible. What are they forgetting, though? What does the Bible tell us? The Bible says nothing will be impossible with God. We need to keep that in mind. Nothing will be impossible with God. And then we have the groups here, groups of 100 people, groups of 50 people. I tried to think this through a little bit. The text tells us there were 5,000 men. When we jump over to Matthew chapter 14, we know that was only counting the men. It wasn't counting the women and the children. So I'm going to take a guess here and say maybe there were like 20,000 people. That's really kind of a conservative number because people had large families back at that time. Let's say there were 20,000 people. So if you're going to take 20,000 people and divide them up into groups of hundreds and of fifties, so what's that going to look like? Well, that would mean that if you took half that number of people, take 10,000 people and divide them up into groups of hundreds, that would be 100 groups of 100 people. Then if you take the other 10,000 and divide them up into groups of 50, you would have 200 groups of 50 people. Well, if you look at how many are here today, we probably have about 50. So that would be such a sliver of the number of people they had there. I just want to make the point, it was an overwhelming number of people that they were dealing with. What happened then? Well, Jesus, he gave God all the glory. Jesus didn't say, hey, everybody, take a look here at me. I'm the Son of God, and I'm about to do something really remarkable. He didn't say that at all, did he? There is Jesus, humble, meek, mild, and he looks up to God in heaven, and he gives him all the credit. He gives him all the glory. Doesn't God want us to be that way too? No matter what we might accomplish that is good, let us know that it's not us. It is God working through us. We want to remember that, and we want to give God the glory. We don't want to take any of the credit at all. Let's give God all the glory, just like Jesus did. And then it tells us in the Bible that they were all satisfied. 20,000 or so, they're all satisfied. Certainly they had to be hungry. Think about it. When Jesus and his disciples got in the boat, maybe at Capernaum, and they were going to Bethsaida, what does the Bible tell us? It says the people were running to get there ahead of them. Well, they ran all that way, but still they had nothing to eat. And then it says that when they got there and Jesus saw them and Jesus had compassion on them, what did Jesus do? He began to teach them many things. So they're still not eating or drinking anything. And then the Bible also tells us the time was quite late. So it's possible that they maybe hadn't eaten anything the whole day. Plus they had physically exerted themselves. So they had to be hungry, but amazingly though, the Bible tells us that every one of them ate until they were satisfied. God always has enough. God is never going to shortchange us. We don't have to wonder, can God do it or not? He always can. And then finally here, toward the end, we come to one basket for each of the 12. So when we think about the 12, talking about the 12 disciples, Jesus said, hey, you guys, you give them something to eat. And basically they said, hey, we have so little here, it's impossible. So what does Jesus do? They thought it was impossible. So Jesus does it. He gives God all the credit. And then what is left over? Oh, just so happens that we have 12 baskets overflowing with food, and let's give one to each one of the 12 disciples. So they thought it was impossible, but let's show them it wasn't, and let's show them what's left over, and let's give them what's left over. Well, what did Jesus want them to do? I think he wanted them to not worry. Oh, we don't have food, we're all worried. Oh no, don't worry, trust in God. He wanted them to trust in him, not only for food, but for every single thing they needed, trust in God. God wants us to do the same. And then I think he was also saying, think about it now, the disciples have food, now they're gonna travel on to another place, the disciples have food, does Jesus have any food? No, they have all the food. What was he saying? I've given you an abundance, so share some with me and share some with other people who are in need as well. Has God given all of us an abundance of what we need? Do we have enough that we could share with others? God wants us to see that. Sometimes things seem impossible, but God is calling us to trust in him no matter what. On the front of the sermon, and on the front of your service folder, I put that list of all these different things you could trust in. You could trust in your own strength, in your job, your money, your pension, your possessions, your goodness. I'm hoping all of you checked the final block, that your trust is in Jesus. Whenever we trust in him, we are never going to be disappointed. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, from the Bible, we know that you are our source of life, our source of daily needs, our source of forgiveness of sins, our source of eternal life, and so much more. In response to knowing and believing such things, help us to trust you for everything. Help us to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and help us to glorify God the Father in all that we think, say, and do. In your holy name, we pray. Amen.